This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
We firmly believe on this program that now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country, which we thought was the beginning of a poem, but we looked it up and it turns out it was some sort of typing exercise. And I don't believe I've ever quoted a typing exercise in this program previously, but this one certainly is appropriate. It's miles ahead, for example, of the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. We confess to looking around and seeing the things that we've been reporting on this program for year after year after year, kind of going in circles. And, well, as of a few weeks ago, it looked highly likely that Donald J. Trump would be returned to the Oval Office. But a few weeks make a big difference. Things don't look quite as rosy as they did then, to which we say, thank God. It's less than 100 days to the election. And our feeling is that we probably should speak up about some obvious issues in the campaign in order, if nothing else, to feel that, well, we did our best to get the data out there. Yes, Mr. Malone, by campaign, I do mean the Trump campaign. It is a great source of amazement to many people I know in particular, that somehow Trump gets away with it. They used to call Ronald Reagan the Teflon president. Reagan had nothing on Trump. No matter how badly he behaves, he retains a hardcore cult following. And unfortunately, because of the nature of how our electoral system works, it's possible to game the system and win elections even with a minority of the voters voting for you. But there is some hint of late that things appear to perhaps finally be catching up with Donald Trump. The fact that he keeps saying unhinged, demented things seems to be noticed more than it used to be. I'm encouraged by the current issue of The Week magazine, which just arrived in my mailbox, showing Donald Trump knee-deep in a pigsty, holding up a piece of what's described as muck in his right hand, under the headline, Muck Thrower, Why Trump is Attacking Harris's Racial Identity, which is, you know, that's just a small part of all the things he's attacking, which is pretty much, these days, everything he doesn't like. And Donald Trump doesn't like quite a few things. I do have to admire this particular piece of artwork. Even the pig looks surprised at the fact that Donald Trump appears to be in the process of throwing, well, what you would find in a pigsty. Of course, when I say that, I realize that probably not one person in 10 listening to this broadcast has ever seen a pigsty. I grew up out in the country, and at least one of my neighbors did have a pig in a pigsty. So I'm at least familiar with what it looks like. But what's missing from the cover of The Week magazine is what it smells like, which is something I think even more appropriate for Donald J. Trump. Yeah, and that little item they're talking about, Trump attacking Harris's racial identity, that's several news cycles ago. But it is amusing to contemplate a guy who claims that Harris, in his mind, Harris just all of a sudden discovered that she's black. Now, if you're a Californian who remembers Kamala Harris running for and becoming the Attorney General of the state of California, you'll know that, that's not a surprise. Some unkind people have taken the time to point out that Trump for years claimed that he was Swedish, when in fact he is of German ancestry. Although, if my memory serves me correctly, the German government did more or less evict his grandfather from the country. But the theme for today's program, and we'll probably try and deviate from it a little bit, but the theme for today's program is going to be our demented candidate for high office. In this case, the highest office in the land. And I don't think we could do better, Mr. Malone, than at this juncture to go to a little excerpt from the recent efforts of David Pakman. Shall we?
Donald Trump got his black guys confused in a disoriented and visibly confused moment. This is, you know, if this weren't 2024 and we hadn't already been dealing with stuff this bonkers for years, you wouldn't believe this story. Donald Trump raised eyebrows the other day during his press conference at Mar-a-Lago when he told a story about almost dying in a helicopter. Here was the story, and we figured out it all comes down to Trump not being able to distinguish different black guys that he knows.
Well, I know Willie Brown very well. In fact, I went down in a helicopter with him. We thought maybe this is the end. We were in a helicopter going to a certain location together, and there was an emergency landing. This was not a pleasant landing, and Willie was he was a little concerned. So I know him pretty well. I mean, I haven't seen him in years. But he told me terrible things about her.
Yeah. So, all right. So former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown almost went, they went down in a field in a helicopter. Here is Willie Brown interviewed on CNN. Here's his perspective on the whole thing.
Just to clear things up, have you ever been in a helicopter that made an emergency landing with Donald Trump?
No.
Have you ever been in a helicopter with Donald Trump?
No.
He is apparently tonight getting angry about all of this, calling the New York Times and berating them for their story on this, claiming, he says, we have the flight records of the helicopter, and apparently said the helicopter landed in a field. You have no memory of anything like that ever happening?
No.
What could he possibly be thinking about?
I have no idea.
So what ultimately happened here? We figured out what happened here. Wrong black guy. Case of mistaken identity. Politico has a story. The other black politician who says he was with Trump in the near-fatal chopper crash. Former Los Angeles City Council member and State Senator Nate Holden said in an interview, he remembers the near-death experience well. And it explains that it's former L.A. State Senator and City Council member. Holden said, Willie is the short black guy living in San Francisco. I'm a tall black guy living in Los Angeles. I guess we all look alike. Holden is now 95 years old. Does this story require any more analysis? I mean, it's just Trump threatened to sue the New York Times. The New York Times put out an article saying Trump claims he has helicopter trip records and threatens to sue because the New York Times investigated it, spoke to Willie Brown. Willie Brown's like, that didn't happen. Just flat out did not happen. Trump called and said, I'm going to sue you. He was actually on the phone with Maggie Haberman, reportedly, and said, we're going to sue over this. And it never involved Willie Brown. Just had nothing to do with Willie Brown whatsoever.
By the way, we are quite certain that former Radio Parallax guest Willie Brown is correct in recalling that he was not in a crashing helicopter with Donald Trump. Or, for that matter, ever in a helicopter with Donald Trump. I did observe in another clip, not the one we just aired for you, that Willie Brown was asked the further follow-up question of, did you have bad things to say about Kamala Harris to Donald Trump? His testy reply was, no, why would I? Now, the issue of Donald Trump's mental shortcomings is not a new topic. We talked about it on this show many years ago, which prompted me to go out and dig through my files and find some of the articles we were quoting back in the day, which I think we should now revisit, Mr. McMillan. So it happens I have three articles here from USA Today, The New York Times, and The Guardian, which cuts a wide media swath. Let us commence with the piece by John Gartner in USA Today. The date on this is April 9th, 2019. For the record, John Gartner is a psychologist and former assistant professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Says psychologist Gartner, if Donald Trump were your father, you would run, not walk, to a neurologist for an evaluation of his cognitive health. You don't have to be a doctor to see something is very wrong. Joe Scarborough, who's known Trump for years, said in 2017 that Trump's mental confusion reminded him of his mother, who had Alzheimer's for 10 years. In 2018, on his MSNBC show, Scarborough said, it's getting worse, and not a single person who works for him doesn't know he has early signs of dementia. To mental health professionals like me, the red flags are waving wildly. In January 2018, let me emphasize that, in January 2018, over 70 of us wrote a letter to the president's physician, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, urging him to administer a cognitive exam during the president's physical because we had seen a marked deterioration in his verbal functioning, possibly due to cognitive decline. Skipping ahead. In fact, Dr. Jackson did administer the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, a screening tool for dementia, and Trump passed. But while Trump bragged that this proved his superior intelligence, this 10-minute screening test, where one must identify a camel, draw a clock, and repeat three numbers backwards, only ruled out full-blown dementia. We argued in a subsequent op-ed that these findings did not rule out the early stages of dementia. We also predicted that if this was organic cognitive decline, it would continue to get worse. And since that op-ed more than a year ago, it has gotten worse. Reminder, this is writing in 2019, said Gartner. Trump, 72, seemed to hit a new inflection point last week when he said, "My father's German, right? Was German and born in a very wonderful place in Germany." In fact, his father was born in the Bronx. It was his grandfather who came from Germany. Dementia Care International says a person may start to mix up relationships and generations in the second stage of dementia. Skipping ahead. In Alzheimer's, as language skills deteriorate, we see two types of telltale speech disorders, or paraphasias. Semantic paraphasia involves choosing the incorrect word. For example, after Attorney General William Barr released a letter on the Mueller report, Trump said, "I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of that investigation, the beginning of that investigation." He was obviously looking for the word origins. But then again, especially of late, we note that he does slur his speech. Next paragraph. Phonemic paraphasia, which is linked to the moderate to severe stages of Alzheimer's, is described as the substitution of a word with a non-word that preserves at least half of the segments and or a number of syllables of the intended word. For example, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu becomes Betanyahu. Big League becomes Bigly. Anonymous becomes Anonymous. Renovation becomes Renoverse. Missiles become Missish, etc. Trump's speech patterns appear even more disordered when you go beyond the soundbite and take a look at the whole speech. He careens from one thought to the next in a parade of non sequiturs, frequently interrupting himself in the middle of a sentence to veer into another free association. When commentators describe his two-hour speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference last month as unhinged, they are referring in large part to this quality. At its extreme, this is called tangential speech. As psychologist Ben Michaels told Stat, doctors evaluating for Alzheimer's listen for tangential remarks and non sequiturs and whether the patient can stay on topic. You had to listen to Trump's whole CPAC speech to realize just how tangential it was. Quote, "Those who learned about the speech from glancing at mainstream news headlines the next morning would have no idea how bonkers the whole thing was, even by Trumpian standards," Amanda Marcotte wrote in Salon. Said the Washington Post's Eugene Robinson, "Trump gave a rambling and incoherent two-hour speech in which he raved like a lunatic." Now, we should stop right there to note that we're in our second segment today, we're gonna do some recent updates on this theme that we're talking about right now, because it hasn't gotten better. He closed by noting that Americans have a right, indeed an urgent need, to know whether their president is suffering from dementia. "We see clear signs that he is, but the only way to find out for sure is to give him a full neuropsychological evaluation and share the results with the public." Mr. Mellon thinks that Harris should be demanding this, but all I can say to that is, well, let's not hold our breath. Next, we go to the New York Times, a piece by Maggie Haberman, whose name will come up a little bit later. The title of the article was, "Trump says he aced cognitive test, but White House won't release details." Now, this was written in May 10th, 2020, more than 4 years ago. The subheadline notes, "President Trump," because that's what he was back then, "has repeatedly ridiculed Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s fitness to be president. Mr. Biden's campaign has called it a smear that has backfired." noted Maggie Haberman. President Trump on Thursday volunteered to Sean Hannity on Fox that he very recently took a test at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, measuring his mental acuity and aced it. But the White House would not say when he took it or why. Mr. Trump boasted that his success in the test surprised his doctors as he continued his attempt to make a campaign issue of whether his presumptive Democratic opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden, was mentally fit. I would say in the wake of the debate that took place in June, the ill-advised debate between Biden and Trump, that a lot of people were then carrying Trump's water for him, pointing out that Biden didn't look well. Back to Maggie Haberman. Trump said in his interview with Mr. Hannity, actually took one when very recently when I was the radical left were saying, is he all there? Is he all there? And I proved I was all there because I aced it. I aced the test. He went on to say that Mr. Biden should also take the test. And he should take the same exact test, the very standard test. I took it at Walter Reed Medical Center in front of doctors, and they were very surprised. They said, that's an unbelievable thing. Rarely does anybody do what you just did. Now, speaking on behalf of the Physicians of America, of which I am one, administering this particular test is a fairly standard assessment as part of your history and physical of a patient, as part of your history and physical examination of a patient. And I feel secure in telling you that no doctor in America said to Trump, rarely does anybody do what you just did. That just didn't happen. Mr. Midland interjects at this point that, well, the truth is the doctors might have said that, but they may have been referring to something else. And no, we won't speculate on whether that has anything to do with the possibility that he wears adult diapers. Anyway, back to Haberman. Trump described taking the test after Hannity mentioned that Mr. Biden said he had taken several cognitive tests. The president insisted that Mr. Biden must have meant tests he took for the coronavirus, and that his rival couldn't pass, quote-unquote, a cognitive test. Aides to Mr. Trump did not respond to questions about what test he took, when he took it, or whether they would make the results public. Over more than 3 years, the president has repeatedly faced questions about his own health, including why he made a mysterious visit to Walter Reed in November of 2019 that White House officials later claimed was to get a jump on his annual physical. Skipping ahead, after his annual physical in 2018, the White House physician at the time, Dr. Ronnie L. Jackson, said the president had received a score of 30 out of 30 on the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, a test that hospitals, including Walter Reed, used to screen for mild cognitive dysfunction. And there was, quote, no reason whatsoever to think the president has any issues whatsoever with his thought processes, end quote. Well, Dr. Jackson, if you don't mind, we'd like to get a second opinion. Dr. Jackson then said that Mr. Trump had asked to take the test. Now, the Montreal assessment is a 30-question test that takes about 10 minutes to complete and requires, among other things, the test taker identify pictures of animals, state the date, month, year, day of the week, and repeat 5 words immediately and again a short time later. Since Biden emerged as his election opponent, the president and his advisors have tried to hammer home a message about whether at age 77 and prone to gaffes, Biden is mentally capable of being president. Haberman also notes that private Republican polling back in 2020 has shown the attacks on Mr. Biden's cognitive state have not done much to move the needle with voters, according to people who describe the details of the surveys. To which she adds, and Mr. Trump is a difficult messenger for an attack on Biden as his own health has come under scrutiny. And on to The Guardian, a piece done in July of 2020, article by Max Benwell. And by the way, we're big fans of The Guardian on this program. If you've never checked them out, please do yourself a favor and do so. They do some excellent, excellent reporting. Said The Guardian, under the headline, I took a closer look at the cognitive test Trump claims to have aced, to which Max Benwell starts out by saying, like any smart, down-to-earth person, Donald Trump has been bragging about acing a simple cognitive test he took recently. He's been doing it for a while now, but it wasn't until his interview with Fox News' Chris Wallace on Sunday that he was challenged over it. The Sunday in question would probably be July 19th in 2020. As the president started boasting about his results, Wallace laughed. I took the test too when I heard that you passed it, the Fox News host told Trump. It's not the hardest test. They have a picture and it says, what's that? And it's an elephant. This, according to Trump, was a misrepresentation. Yes, The first few questions are easy, he conceded, but I bet you couldn't even answer the last five questions. I'll bet you couldn't. They get very hard, the last five questions. He added, and I guarantee you Joe Biden could not answer those questions. Max Benwell then posits, are the last five questions, as Trump claims, really so difficult? The test is called the Montreal Cognitive Assessment and was created by the neurologist Dr. Zaid Nasruddin in 1996. According to MarketWatch, Nasruddin stressed the test is supposed to be easy for someone who has no cognitive impairment, stressing this is not an IQ test or the level of how a person is extremely skilled or not. The test is supposed to help physicians detect early signs of Alzheimer's. Trump is right about the start of the test being very easy. But when it comes to the last five questions, his claim that they're, quote, very hard, unquote, is unsettling, though not surprising, in what it reveals about his relationship with reality. The article goes on to then show a picture of a lion, a rhino, and a camel, and sometimes it's an elephant and not a rhino, which, generally speaking, are pretty easy animals for someone to identify. In the latter part, as Chris Wallace mentioned, you have to count back from 100 in multiples of 7. In other words, 100, 93, 86, 79, etc. Author Benwell says, well, this took me slightly longer than I'm going to like, but nowhere does it says it's a time test. I did it in the end, slowly but surely. We should note by way of disclosure that Benwell confesses that he had a hard time briefly drawing the clock. You're supposed to draw a clock with the face showing 10 minutes past 11. And he confesses that in a digital age, that gave him some trouble. He had to recall that 10 after the hour is like, you know, 2 5-minute divisions downward. Anyway, Trump bet Chris Wallace he couldn't even answer the last five questions. But for a mentally healthy person, the last five questions should be as simple as the rest. The fifth to the last question asks you to repeat a sentence out loud before naming as many words as you can, starting with F. In the following abstraction sentence, you have to spot similarities between different objects like trains and bicycles, modes of transport, or a watch and a ruler, measuring devices. And finally, the closer for the orientation part of the test, you have to say what the date is. This is something that Trump was saying that Biden would never be able to get right. Benwell closes by saying, for Trump to claim these are hard is worrying, because for any cognitively healthy person, they shouldn't be. Before we start any armchair diagnosis, you have to weigh up two probabilities against each other. Is it really likely that he found the last five questions hard? Or is it more likely he's misrepresenting about how hard they were in order to be, quote, smarter, unquote, than Joe Biden? He concludes by saying, it's more likely Trump's difficulties in the end of the test tell us nothing that we don't already know. His prolific lying and self-aggrandizement, two things we have empirical evidence for, should be what worries us. Four, similar to his stable genius claims, you got to ask yourself, how many smart people brag about their supposed intellect so much and in such a misguided way? Anyway, that was then. In our second segment today, we're going to delve into what is now. And unfortunately, that bears a depressing similarity to then.
Something like that. What do you mean? It's worse now.
Okay, yeah, okay. In the clips we're going to go to, there's a couple little statements that Trump makes that are not focused on by the interviewers, which I want to draw your attention to. He said at one point in one of these interviews that we don't have to worry about global warming. What we need to worry about is nuclear warming. Now, we're not sure what he meant by that. We're pretty sure that he doesn't either. And let's circle back to the trial balloon. I guess you'd call it that Trump keeps launching about asking the public, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Let's take a minute, shall we, to look back 4 years. 4 years ago, a raging epidemic was sweeping across the United States in no small part because of the incompetent policies of the Trump administration, which were largely the result of Trump's desires. We probably, in a future installment of this program, should go back and do a thorough review of what happened in the year 2020, because I don't understand how it is Trump is getting a pass on this. And by the way, I want to put a plug in for the NPR program Reveal, which did an excellent summary of how it was they were trying to gather data in the beginning of the pandemic in order to properly deal with the disease. That itself is a remarkable story. Suffice it to say, the Trump administration did not do an adequate job of making the necessary assessments, as they were busy trying to tell you that it wasn't that big of a deal. And then anyway, this whole mask thing is nonsense. You shouldn't worry about, you know, having to wear a mask in public. You shouldn't worry about public gatherings. And for God's sakes, you shouldn't be staying home and hurting the economy, because that would damage the stock market and that would hurt Trump's chances in November, etc. I would note in closing that down in Guantanamo, apparently Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is described as the mastermind of the 9/11 attack on the United States, recently got a plea deal from the military commission down there that was going to spare him the death penalty, but would have kept him imprisoned in Guantanamo for the rest of his life. But days later, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin revoked the plea deal, meaning that the accused plotters must still face a military tribunal and a possible death sentence. They've been there for 20 years. Don't hold your breath that's ever going to happen. But if the guy the Republicans think should be their nominee for the highest office in the land, if that guy killed 300,000 Americans, thanks to his bloody incompetence 4 years ago, and he did, and that's a number 100 times larger than the casualties of 9/11, well, words fail. That's all I can say. Words fail. Anyway, we would do well to bring Stephen Harper back on this program. His excellent timeline and what Trump did during the COVID pandemic correlates well to the website we put together, trumppandemic.net, which I confess to having ignored for the past 3 or so years. But I'm pretty sure that if you pull it up, and I believe it is, and I know it's still available, the timeline we put up there will be very revealing and should eliminate any doubts you may have as to whether the huge number of casualties suffered by Americans was not inflated because of Trump's incompetence. Anyway, we need a break. Boy, do we need a break. So let's take one. You're listening to Radio Parallax. I'm Douglas Everett. We have lots more to talk about in our second segment.